But Psalm 18 and verse number 29. I'm not going to read a lot tonight, so you don't have to worry about that. Leave your glasses off. Psalm 18 and verse 29, if I back up far enough, I think it says, "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall." For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. 2 Samuel chapter number 5. 2 Samuel chapter number 5. Wonderful verse. Just a tremendous verse. Ran across it several months ago, and I just felt like this is what the Lord would like for us to hear tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 10. "And David went on." And David went on. And David did what? Come on now, what did David do? He went on. If I were to ask you tonight, now you Bible readers, you would know exactly what the Bible says, but if I were to ask you what made David great, you would probably tell me what it says in Acts 13 and verse 22, that, well, the Bible says when he had removed him, that Saul the Bible is talking about, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart." And if I were to ask you tonight what made David great, I think you'd be right if you said he was a man after God's own heart. Amen. But I really believe tonight there's a lot of people who really did at one point, Brother Brady, have a heart for God. Now, I enjoyed Brother Brady's preaching today. Enjoyed his testimony. I like the way he says, "God." I mean, the man's got the perfect preacher voice, and I mean, he just preached so good, and here I am with this squeaky, worn-out thing, but anyways, brother, there's a lot of people who really start out with a heart after God. Come on here now. I really know. They mean well. And when I read about David, it's obvious he was committed to doing the will of God fully. Come on here now. Don't do any of this half job will of God stuff and pull one of those Saul things and say, "I have done the will of God," and have the prophet come up and say, "But what is the bleating of these sheep that I hear?" David believed if God wanted something done, you ought to do it right. Is anybody here tonight? Come on now. If God wants it done, how's he want it done? He wants it done right. And so David, I believed in doing the will of God fully and completely. Now, I like fully and completely. But I've raised a few kids that I've been able to get to do something fully and completely, but not very passionately. I heard a man say it like this one time. Kids have anchors. Yeah. I mean, if you don't believe it, just ask them to do something. You start walking down the sidewalk and the path, and you say, "Now, son, this is what I want you to do." And all of a sudden, poof. And you're walking, and they dropped an anchor. It's like, where'd they go? And you say, they automatically slow down. Ever seen a kid do that? They dropped an anchor. You know what? Eventually they're going to do what you say, but not very passionately. I believe when David went to do the will of God, brother, he embraced it. He wanted to do it. I want to do it fully. I want to do it completely. And I want to do it with a passion so that people know I'm enjoying doing the will of God. I'm enjoying being in the service of the King. And so David, according to God's word, was a man that was after God's own heart. He did God's will fully. He did it completely. He did it passionately. But there's a reason. I tell you what, there's a vast difference between David and other people. And I want to tell you what that story is, because three times in the life of David that I read about. He had an appointment with God, and three different times in his life, Brother Rene, God anointed David. Help us now. I don't know how you're going to get anywhere, preacher, without the anointing. If God doesn't anoint me, I might as well shut up. I have nothing good to say. I may say a lot of things from the Word of God, but I believe it takes the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The Jehovah Witnesses sometimes misquote or quote the Word of God. The Mormons may come by and quote a few verses. Amen. Some preachers may get up behind some nominal pulpits and get a little bit of the Word of God and, you know, spread the Word kind of thing. But I believe God wants to anoint His ministers. He makes His ministers a flame, a fire. He puts something in their hearts that can be obtained in no other place. And three times I read about God anointing David, and every time God puts him in an office, God anoints him. God establishes it. Amen. I'm thankful for the call of God tonight. Amen. I've wanted to be in the ministry. I wrestled not with whether or not I should go to Bible school, but I want to know it was God's will for me to be there. I wanted God to confirm it, and when I got there, I wanted to know that God was going to anoint my ministry, or I wanted no parts of the ministry whatsoever. Is anybody here tonight that really understands the value and the power and the purpose behind the anointing of the Holy Ghost? I like the story when God came by. In fact, He took a prophet by the name of Samuel, and He spoke to him and said, basically, the heart of Saul is no longer with me. Come on here now, there it is. He says, I want you to take a bottle of oil, a horn of oil, if you will. We didn't come in a bottle back then. He said, I want you to go down to the house of Jesse. And Jesse's got some sons. And I want you to line them boys up one by one. And the one that I tell you, I want you to take that anointing and pour it on his head, because that's the one that I've chosen. And so when I read that story, I want you to know, first of all, that the oil did not come in a bottle like this back then. No, sir. It came in the horn of some animal somewhere that had to give its life, amen, and give its horn that was later on cleaned up and fixed up to be that vessel that God would choose to use in the hands of a prophet to pour oil upon the head. Now you hear me tonight. No man could take it to himself and decide, I really want to be anointed. God had to speak to the prophet. The prophet had to realize when he took that horn of oil in his hand, this did not come cheap. It did not come easy. Somebody had to sacrifice something, amen, for there even to be a container to put such a substance as the anointing oil in it. Come on here now tonight. I don't believe in easy believism. I don't think for a minute the call to the ministry is a bed of roses. I go a little further. I don't think it's right for us to sit in the house of God and think for one second that we're going to experience the greatest things God has by paying the least price, giving it the smallest of efforts. Amen. Something died, not for the anointing oil, but just to be a vessel to carry that oil. Something gave its life. It didn't come cheap, but it didn't come easy. And just to carry this thing, something had to give its life. And so Samuel, he makes his way down to the house of Jesse. And he says, I want your sons to pass by. And he stands there with this bottle of oil. And I can't name all the sons of Jesse, but one by one they become candidates, if you will, for the precious anointing of the Spirit of God. One by one, brother, they walk in front of the prophet. And one by one, the prophet looks them over. And in his heart and in his mind, he says, that one looks like a good preacher. That one looks like he'd make a good man of God. That one no doubt would be the king. I see great qualities there. And one by one, God speaks to Samuel and he says, it's not this one. It's not that one. It's not this one. It's not the other. I'm going to tell you what. Don't ever think you know who God's going to call. He has a tendency to go where you've never dreamed and pick out candidates you've never thought. One was not a prophet.
prophet nor the son of a prophet, a herdsman, if you will. One by one, God has the right to choose among his people whomever he desires and say, that's the one I want. And so, as the story starts out, David's out in the field by himself. His brothers are given the honor. They're called one by one. And yet the anointing of God in the hand of the prophet Samuel is not readily poured on any of them. Till the prophet says, you got any more sons? You got anybody else? You see, God said, it's none of these. He said, I've got another son, a ruddy little boy out in the field. And I want you to know that he's just the youngest boy. I'd like you, if you're the youngest child in your family, to stand up, please. None of you grandpas were the youngest? Yeah. Oh, there we are. Have a seat, please. I'm sorry for what I'm about to say about you. I really am. But the youngest son, the youngest child, is usually a spoiled brat. All you middle children say amen. Amen. Come on here now. All you oldest children say amen. All you little brats be quiet. I'll tell you what, the youngest child, I am dead smack in the middle. I've got an older brother and an older sister. I've got a younger brother and a younger sister, and I'm the best of the lot. Just ask my wife and she'll tell you. Right, honey? Right. Amen. But I tell you what, you make a lot of mistakes on the first kid. And the first one was a boy, so they made all their mistakes on my older brother. And then they made a lot of mistakes on my older sister. You just ask me, I can tell you. And then there came me. Once they got all the mistakes out, I was the perfect middle child. And I thought Brother Brady was bad for doing what he did with the cell phone. And then came my little brother, where they probably, once you've seen perfection, please don't sell this tape, especially to my mother. My dad passed away. I hope heaven cannot hear what is being said right now. And then by the time they got to my younger brother, they'd already achieved perfection, and they probably overtuned it, and they messed him up. And then there was my bratty baby sister. I tell you, the youngest child is always the spoiled brat. Ooh, I like saying that. A bunch of little brats are saying no. But that was David, Brother Renee. He was the little boy of the family, you know. He was the little one that could have been the most spoiled. That's usually not the case that the youngest child is the leader of the family. In fact, every time you try to see him do something, it's the older brother, the older sister. The last in line is the youngest. You don't believe me? Go to Africa. Go to Kenya. This is my firstborn, my secondborn. I met so many first, second, third, and 14th born kids in one country. I don't know if they do that in your, but they introduce them from the oldest to the youngest. And by the time you get to the young one, chances are he's not the leader. Come on here now. But God looked at that little boy David and said, Samuel, get the oil out. Pour that horn of oil all over that little boy. And David, as he stood there at whatever age he was, the youngest and least suspected to do anything for God, all at once had anointing from heaven begun to flow on the life of that little boy. And for the first time in his life, I'll tell you, something happened to David. God anointed him. He wasn't just getting all oily there. If you understood the significance of what just took place, you would have stood there in reverence and awe and say, you're not going to believe this, but God just sent the prophet to anoint my youngest brother to be the next king of Israel. My God, I don't know how David must have felt when the king or the prophet took and poured that oil on his head. But for the very first time in David's life, David walked away saying, I have been anointed by God. Something different. Help me now. You want to be Joe Average? You go right ahead. But I want the anointing. You want to be a group of people, amen, that everybody says like everybody else? You have that option. But I'll tell you this. If God ever anoints you, you'll never want to live without the anointing of the Holy Ghost on your life. Am I? I'm afraid to ask, but if God ever anointed you, would you stand up? Not in pride, but in humility. If you can really point to a place in life where you felt like God really did pour the unction and the power of the Holy Ghost on your life, I really do want you to stand. Come on here now. God, help us. My God, help us. Look around here. Don't sit down too fast. If you're a pastor, I trust that God anointed you somewhere. I really want you to just, I'm not asking you to look at everybody else. I believe as you're seated quietly in the presence of the Lord, that if God ever anoints you, you never forget that very first time that God came by in great power. I remember as a little boy when I taught my first Sunday school lesson, so to speak. I just kind of got downstairs to escape the boring preacher that was upstairs. Help me, Lord, I'm just being honest. And so I began to teach them about soul winners. And I took a pencil and I named it Beanpole. And I had Beanpole go around and witness to people. I have a good feeling tonight I wasn't anointed. I was just trying to get out of upstairs. I'm going to tell you something tonight. When God anoints you that first time, oh, Holy Ghost, begin to talk to us here. That's a momentous occasion in your life. I remember, Brother Rene, as a freshman when I had to preach in chapel, I got to my turn. I tell you to this day, I know what I preached. I preached on Meeny, Meeny, Tickle You, Farson. Numbered, weighed, finished. Great encouraging message. You know how I remember it so well? He was in that old white church. And before everybody came to chapel, which was at 9, about 7:30 in the morning, I went over there and I preached it a couple times just to make sure I didn't make a fool of myself. I preached that message. I tell you what, I don't think God anointed me. In fact, I'm pretty sure he didn't, Brother Brady. I said what I had to say, filled up 10 minutes, didn't make a fool of myself and sat down. And now, 30-some years later, I remember the first message I preached. It was not anointed. It wasn't. It was truth. It was God's word. It was obedient to what I was, but it wasn't anointed. I tell you what, but I think I do remember the first time that my preaching went from that to God anointing me, brother. I'll tell you how it started. It started Saturday in the prayer room as I knew I was going to be preaching in Salzburg. Had a little church of God on Sunday morning or Sunday, I believe it was Sunday morning. I remember walking back and forth. Somebody had the audacity to knock on the prayer room door and say, hey, Tom, you want to come out and play football? I said, no, I've got to pray. I got to preach. I remember that Saturday as I paced like I am now and I began to pray. I began to feel something in that room like I'd never felt before. I knew I'd be preaching on the rich man and Lazarus. And I began to say, God, I want to feel what I'm preaching about. God, I want you to open up hell and let me begin to see exactly what it is. I'm going to tell these people. I want to see. You know what? Hell didn't open. I never saw it. But when I stood up behind the pulpit in that little church of God, I preached for the very first time with an anointing of the Holy Ghost. I remember it. I know what it felt like. I knew that when I spoke, it was no longer the words of a man, but the pull of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you what, when God anoints you that very first time, you will never, never, never forget it. If you think tonight you may have been anointed, you weren't. Come on here now. If you think you may have been anointed, you never were. For when that oil of the Holy Ghost flows from heaven, every part of a man knows. I am no longer speaking with the authority of a man. I am speaking by the authority of Jesus Christ. I have something, Brother Renee, within me. That is just, one man said, fire shut up in my bones. But I'll tell you what, it's deeper than fire. It's Christ in me. It's the Holy Ghost flowing on me. And brother, when Samuel poured that oil on David's head, something happened in that boy's life. Whoa, whoa, what happened to me? I've just been anointed. He didn't go out and tell everybody. I think he went back to those smelly sheep and said, oh, thou anointest my head with oil. I'm here to tell you tonight, we've got to get back to that first time when we really did feel the unction and the fire of the Holy Ghost. I think we need to relive it tonight. Got so hungry for God. As a student in Bible school, I remember going to the prayer room and just saying, God, I've got to feel your touch. Got to feel it, God. I must have it. I walk back and forth. I cannot stand still. I hate standing still. I walk back and forth, and I felt like I could pour all of myself out at the very foot of the throne of God. I marched up to Brother Beam's office. I said, I don't understand. There's such a heaviness and a desire to just melt at his feet. I don't know what it is. He said, keep on praying. He called it necessity. Whether he was right or wrong, I don't know, but I started feeling the Holy Ghost anointing my prayer life. I'll tell you what, when the Spirit himself begins to make intercession, we better remember it. Come on here now. I don't know how you pray, but there is a level of praying that leaves the natural world and begins a communion with God. Faith rises. The power of God is real. Brother Beam said, begin to pray for gifts of the Spirit. And so I did. I remember, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm reliving those first anointings. Oh, God help us. I'm reliving those first anointings. I wanted to be used in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. I went to Brother Luther Travis's church out there in the sticks of West Virginia. I was sitting on the platform and I felt the Holy Ghost come upon me. I gave a message in tongues. I'll tell you, it was so anointed. I'm not here to bring glory to me. I'm just trying to relive that first anointing. I felt like I sat there and watched myself give a message in other tongues. My God, help me here. I'm tired of mealy-mouth junk. I'm tired of words of no power, no authority, and no meaning. I watched almost as that very first anointing of the Holy Ghost fell, and I began to give a message in tongues. It was almost as if I watched myself do it. I thought, dear God, what am I doing? As I felt the unction and the power of God like I'd never felt. And nobody interpreted it. Whoo! And I sat there for a couple of minutes thinking, God, what did I do? And immediately it started again as that holy presence of God flowed down through my being, and words in a heavenly language flowed. What am I doing? I'm remembering that first anointing. I'm remembering that first visitation of something supernatural. I'll tell you what, yes, somebody interpreted it, but I'm here to tell you tonight, there's still an anointing, an outpouring of God. I'm telling you, there's something supernatural that God wants you to remember. Oh, God, help me here. I'm afraid to tell you what I'm thinking right here, Brother Frazier. I don't remember a whole lot, but I'm just going to tell it the best I can and let the pieces lie wherever they shall. But it was in this very camp meeting many, many years ago. They took up an offering. You know, I got tempted to help him take up that offering for Brother Renee. I didn't do it. I felt, but you know what? I thought many years ago, I was in this very place. Brother Larson was still alive. I remember him. I remember the time he prophesied. God help me. I just feel like telling you about the anointing. I remember the time in Great Kekapin, West Virginia. He walked up to me and began to prophesy over my life. I can tell you what he said. I think if I did, I don't want to be proud in this. I really don't. So I'm wrestling here. But I remember when he prophesied. This is what he said, and I speak as a fool. He said, stay under the cloud. Stay under the cloud. And he shook his head and said, he said, I want you to know there's a cloud of God's presence. If you'll stay under there, God will use you. I never forgot it, sister. You are Sister Larson, right? I never forgot it. I'll tell you what, there were times I got out on the edge of the cloud, but I want to be right under it. I want to relive the anointing and the power of God. I started to tell you, I was up here many years ago, and they took up an offering. And they wanted people to do just like, I don't remember whether it was $5, $50, $100. It wasn't $500 because I didn't have it back then. Whew. Yeah, I could do $500 now. And I'm not bragging. I'm telling you what. If you're faithful to God, He'll bless you. I stood right about here as they had them all come up. I don't know who he was. But somebody, Brother Frazier, got up out of the congregation, came up, laid their hands on me, and said, because you've obeyed God, God is going to prosper you. Did you see my Cadillac? If you did, somebody has it, because I don't. But I'm going to tell you this, I'm not a poor man. And I cannot even go into details and tell you, but I'm seeing the hand of God fulfill that. I don't know who did it. And when they did it, I'll tell you what, Sister Larson, I wasn't real convinced. I just said, what it is, it is. I want you to know there's an anointing. Somebody in the congregation got anointed. I'm not rich, don't you misunderstand me. Brother, I couldn't help but think, and I speak as a fool. I tell you what, I've got a house that's been sitting empty for 9 years in a $100,000 neighborhood, and there goes my offering. It's costing me a fortune just to keep an empty house going while I do the work of God. But somebody in the congregation got anointed. David remembered that first time. Is anybody here want to go back in your mind and relive that first anointing? Come on here, church. I'm trying to take you somewhere. I'm not trying to preach at you. I'm trying to preach with you. I'm trying to take you by the hand and say you ought to go where I've been. You ought to experience what it's like to be in that place when God says, that's the one I want to anoint right there. I've taken you from a king to a preacher to a pew. And I want you to know tonight there is an anointing of the Holy Ghost for you. My God, help me. My title, get anointed and get over it. Get anointed and get through it. I'll tell you what, some of you are facing things tonight, and by the authority of the Holy Ghost, if you don't get anointed, you're never going to get over it. You're never going to get through it. You're going to keep fighting that wall, fighting that battle, until God comes by. By my God, I've run through a troop. By my God, I've leaped over a wall. Amen. I'm telling you what, tonight, when David stepped out from under that anointed oil, went back in his little sheepfold, God knew where he was. God knew where he was. I said God knew where the anointed man was. God knew that Saul didn't have it anymore. I tell you, Saul is a fearful example. He scares me to death when I see anything in my life that looks like Saul, Brother Renee. I get concerned. A preacher preaches about Saul. I perk my ears up. I don't want to be Saul. I want to be David. I want to be the man that's been under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And so David, he makes his way back to the sheepfold, and his brothers are out there, those unanointed, all well-equipped older brothers. Yeah, baby David is out there in the field, and his brothers are hiding from a giant by the name of Goliath. I'll tell you what, Goliath can talk. Goliath can preach. Yeah, he cursed the gods of Israel. He defied them in the name of the gods of the Philistines. And those older brothers stood there and let him. And David showed up one day. I'd imagine it was a long time before David washed that oil out of his hair. Come on here. Woo. And David listened to that Goliath preach. Send me a man. I might fight with him. And something started crawling up the back of David's neck. I tell you what, the Holy Ghost still wants a church that's ready to be anointed. Is anybody in here wanting to live like this? Come on here now. Is anybody, as a little boy? As a little boy, I listened to it on a record player in the basement of my mother's house. I heard David and Goliath. I lived it out as a boy. I played it over again, that along with the little airplane that couldn't fly. Anybody ever heard that story? You never heard the little airplane that couldn't fly? Whew. It's as good as teddy bear. Woo! Little boy, I lived it out. Ooh. You don't want me to tell you that story. I better not. End of sermon. Beginning of nonsense. But I'd listen to David and Goliath, and I'd put myself in his shoes. He was the same age I was. He looked like I did. He was as tall as I was. I'd live it out. I'll tell you what, there's a little more in the dreams of little boys and little girls than what we give credit to God for. I'll tell you, if they dream about being a missionary, don't talk them into being the President of the United States. Let abomination do it. I don't care if you get mad at me or not there. I'll tell you what, I'm still anointed. I've got to pray for him that God will save him and our country. Whew. I'll tell you what, Goliath preached his message. David tapped Saul on the shoulder. I said, thy servant. Thy servant. There are some good qualities about the baby and the family. Thy servant will go out. I will fight him. I will. Skipping down the story, when David makes his approach, Goliath said, I'll take your head off. I'll feed your flesh to the birds of the field, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. I'll make a mockery of you. I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of boasting going on in the house of God. I said there's a lot of cheap garbage junk talk. Come on now, trash talking Christians. I tell you what, I can preach. I can out preach Brother Peretic. Why'd they get him? Couldn't they find anybody better? Apparently not. Amen. You take that any way you want to. I don't claim to be a camp meeting preacher. I'll tell you what though, I do claim that I remember the time when God anointed my body and God anointed my spirit, and until he anoints yours, you listen a while. David said, oh God help me, I don't know why I'm going to say this. The Bible still says, touch not mine anointed. Come on here now, preacher. Ooh, yeah, you hide behind that verse. Yeah, you bet your life I do. Come on now. You bet your little life I do, because I've seen God say, hey, you leave that man alone. That man, God help me here. I've watched people end up in a mental institution because they didn't know how to leave the man of God alone. I tell you what, I'm preaching to you tonight. Amen. When the anointing comes, you never forget it. And when David made his approach to Goliath, Goliath made his boast. David was like some of us in some portions. I tell you what, I'm going to misquote the scripture for a little bit here. But David said, I'll take your head off. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to do this. I like those kind of testimonies. But Brother Renee, that's all they are for some people. What I'm going to do, I will do this and I will do that. I will run through a troop. I will leap over a wall. I'll take you down. I'll preach your next camp meeting. I'll do the will of God. I'll teach the Sunday school class. I look like an idiot. You know what? You are. Come on now. I get nasty, I'll tell you. When people start acting like they're anointed and they're not. When they start telling me you're going to do something for God and you're no more going to do anything for God than a man in the moon. Shut up. Come on here. Don't get mad at me. David didn't say, by my God, I will run through a troop. Woo! By my God. Brother Wall. They ought not videotape this stuff, I'm telling you. YouTube. I know it exists. GodTube. He's pretty tall. I can leap over you. I can. I'm glad you came. You might not be if I try to leap over you. Just thank you. You know, I'm tired of hearing that kind of boasting. Come on now. Hey, I'm going to be the best preacher. You can't even get out of bed on Sunday morning. Woo! I'm feeling anointed. Give me that bottle of oil. Whew. Man, I ought to get that job. Nobody can trust you to even pay your tithes. I should have tried jumping over him and left that one alone. Yeah. I'm so tired of the I wills. I'm gonna, you wait and see someday. I'll tell you what, someday over the rainbow, tell it to the Wizard of Oz, because David wasn't that kind of guy. David said, by my God, I have run through a troop. By my God, I've leaped over a wall. I'm gonna tell you about what I've done, what I have done, not what I'm gonna do. I'm tired of watching old people telling me what they're going to do. I really am. Well, you see, when I get to the right place in life, I'm gonna quit my job and I'm gonna go into ministry. Can I introduce you to a rich young ruler? Come on here now. God, I got to get back on my message. Oh yeah. But by the text I read, I believe it was Psalm 18:29. David wasn't talking about what he was going to do. He was talking about what he has done. By my God. By my God. How did he do it, Brother Frazier? 2 Samuel 5, I read verse 10, and David went on. Yeah. David went on. Whew. Some of you, you're good people. I don't really think this is true, but I'll just say it for you. Some of you got off the bus a long time ago. Said, I ain't following this guy. I'll tell you what, David went on. He did. When Goliath said, I'll take your head off, David went on. Come on now. I tell you what, that got to get that kind of spirit back in God's people. We've got to get this quitting attitude and bury it somewhere, because when Goliath said, I'll take you down, David, he went on. I'm going on. I'll tell you what, there comes a time when we say, I'm going on with God. I'm going on. Anybody can quit. Anybody can turn around. Anybody can lose. Anybody can not pray through. Anybody can come up with an excuse. But my Bible holds these words of David. David went on. David went on. David went on. David went on. Somebody here needs to go on. Somebody here needs to go on. My God, help me. David went on. He went on against Goliath. Slung that stone. Took him down. And all of Israel looked at the bratty little boy and said, wow. And David didn't stop. He went on, stood on Goliath's chest, pulled that sword out of Goliath's sheath, dropped it down over Goliath's neck, and he picked it up and held it. There is nobody better in the Old Testament to preach about than David. That's my opinion. You'd think when you take out the giant, you get promoted. I'm going to tell you what, the anointing does not always feel good. And so David gets a job, that anointed man of God, singing and playing the harp for Saul. They told me the other guy preached for 2 hours and 23 minutes and 57 seconds. Let me know when I hit 58 seconds. And so David goes in and begins to play his harp. That anointed man of God, that man destined for the throne, that one that slew his 10,000s while Saul only slayed his thousands. And all of a sudden things are changing around Israel, because the anointing that once was upon Saul is now on David. And Saul is a jealous, raving madman. An evil spirit from God troubles him. And so they call for David to come and play. What a promotion. From killing giants to playing a harp. David stands, sits, plays. Saul picks up his spear, looks at David, and lunges and spears, throws his spear at David. Quickly, David gets out of the way. You think that a man that's anointed should not be in such a position. You see, God, I killed Goliath. You owe me. Yeah, I was so faithful, Lord, and I should be anointed. And now that crazy man, Saul, is throwing spears at me. I quit. No. David went on. David went on. David went on. tell you what, we're missing something in the ministry when we're packing up and leaving all the time. If you won't stay there and fight, you really weren't anointed in the first place. Amen. All of those things that happened, Paul said, these things have fallen upon me for the furtherance of the gospel. I'm just going to get anointed. I'll tell you what, I believe there's some folks here that are just rather be offended than anointed. Woo! I'd rather be offended. He doesn't know who he's throwing. I got voted out of a church because my ministry was no longer effective. Maybe it's not, but nobody told God, because it's been 25 years almost since I was told that. Come on here now. I'm telling you what, I got offended, brother. I really did. I had me one royal unanointed pity party. I told God I wasn't preaching anymore, and God told me some things, and I listened to God. I tell you what, there came a time when God visited me, and I said, I've got to go on. I've got to get anointed. I've got to press on. I don't know who it is this evening, but I believe there are some walls, and there are some troops, and there are some things that you've never been able to press through, some battles and barriers, and yet you feel like I could never go on. But I'm here to tell you, David did. David went on. David went on. I can't pray through to the Holy Ghost. There's this huge wall between me and the outpouring of God. David said, by my God, I quit beating my head against the wall. I quit trying to climb over it. He said, in one full leap, by my God, I've leaped over a wall. I got beyond that barrier. Come on here, I'm preaching to somebody tonight. I'm talking to somebody in this house. I'll tell you what, you can leave here filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on now. Well, you don't know what's got me bound. You don't know what I'm facing. In one step. I don't know if it's a 10 or 12 step plan AA has. But the Holy Ghost can do it in one step. Come on here now. David went on. There's some folks that you don't know what it's like to pray on. You hit that wall. You hit that troop. You hit that onslaught of the devil. And you say, well, I don't think I can get through. I'm here to tell you tonight, if you'll go on for God, if you'll get through it, if you'll pray through it, if you'll get a hold of God, you can change your testimony for what I'm going to do to what David said, by my God, I have. I tell you what, by my God, I have been filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, I have. I said, by my God, I have been filled with that wonderful working power, that precious Holy Ghost. I said, I'm not here to tell you I'm going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I have been filled. I have experienced an outpouring of God. I know what it's like to be in His presence and speak in a heavenly language. Is there anybody else here? Are you wanting to relive it? Are you wanting to? Is there something in your heart saying, I haven't felt like going on, but I'm feeling it now? I think somewhere in this message, you better get up out of your seat and let everybody know, this man has still got an anointing. This man has still got a touch of God. This woman of God, whoever you are, is not turning back. I've got my mind made up. Amen. I've got my mind made up. I've got the touch of God. I'm not telling you I'm going to preach. I'm telling you I have preached to you. I have spoken by the authority of God to His people. Ooh. Somewhere in our life, it's got to come back to not what I'm going to do, but this is what I've done. By my God, I've learned to be an overcomer. As Brother Renee preached, I haven't tried to do it in myself. Come on now, I could no more jump over that man, and he's thankful I didn't try. Come on now. But I read about men that outrun chariots. Oh, God, I wish somebody would start believing God. I wish somebody would throw aside the cloak of doubt. How is the darkness of defeat and the question mark would be cast out of your mind, and something inside would say, it's time for me to go like I've never gone before. It's time for me to stop being double-minded and unstable in all my ways. I'm selling out to God. I'm going on. I'm picking up where I left off. I'm getting back to the altar. I'm going back to the place where I met God. I'm going to be baptized afresh in the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh God, I asked you to relive it. I asked you to relive it. I wonder if there's anybody that really does want to relive that glorious outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Oh God, I wonder, is there anybody in this house that says, by my God, I'll tell you what, I don't know what's holding you in your pew, but I'm here to tell you tonight, you can get anointed and you can get over it. You can get anointed and get over your bitterness. You can get anointed and get over your sin. You can get anointed and get beyond your unbelief. All it takes is somebody saying, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Is anybody here tonight that really wants to go on with God? Here's somebody. Oh, I feel like running with him. I do. I really do. I really do. I feel like there's some folks in this house and I've got to get through some things. I've got to run. Come on now. Is there anybody else? You say, well, I felt like I sat here long enough. But by my God, I'm getting up. I'm getting up. Come on, sister. Oh, come on now. How about the rest of you? Have you ever been anointed? Have you ever felt the touch of God? Oh, I'm feeling like somebody needs to start running. I'm going. I'm not going to play. Oh, I'd like to get you. I'd like to get a hold of you. I really would. Oh, God. Hey, I'm wanting the Holy Ghost to come in here in a mighty way. Anybody want to relive it? Anybody want a visitation again? Is there anybody who really does want to feel the power of God like you once knew it? Come on now. Oh God. I appreciate these coming, but I think there needs to be a little more passion about our desire to be anointed. I think there needs to be a little more fire. Oh God, I tell you what, I'm going on. I'm going on, Brother Fraser. I'm going on, Brother Eastman. I'm going on. I believe I'll run on and see what the end is going to be. Oh God, I said I believe I'll run. Oh God, that's all right. Come on now, church. Are you ready to relive that glorious moment when the Holy Ghost fell? Oh, I tell you what, that first anointing was a time when you made decisions. That first anointing was when your path changed. That preciousness, I believe what David said. He said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I'm believing God is wanting to rekindle your fire. God's wanting to visit you. God's wanting to help you. David went on. David went on. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. Let's begin to lift our voice to heaven. Let's begin to talk to the Holy Ghost. Let him speak to me. Let him help me. Let him visit me. Let it come down. Oh, I want the Holy Ghost to come down. I want to relive it. I want to re-experience it. I want what I never ever forgot. Hallelujah. Oh God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, man of God. Come on, woman of God. I'm going on. I believe I'll run on. I believe I'll run on. And David went on. Oh, it's time to get anointed and get over it. It's time to get anointed. Come on, church. Hallelujah. 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 It's time to remember what it was like that first time God anointed you. Hallelujah. Come on now. You remember that first time. Oh, come on now. And David went on. Yes, he did. And David went on, brother. They threw spears at him. And David went on. His own son rebelled against him. And David went on. Yeah, they mocked him, they did. And David went on. Oh, God help him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, church. I'm seeing you there. I'm wondering tonight if the Holy Ghost will minister to you. Oh, somebody believe. Somebody believe tonight. Somebody believe tonight.